This is a Mexican Crossing Lines. You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPP LP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves with Cindy Gomez-Shemp
and Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you can continue to send us your tips and information. How can people get a hold of us, Duke?
Well, you can basically do the call-in line, which is right on the bottom of the screen. It's a message line is 701-566-0917. Again, it's a message line. You can leave up to 3 minutes and tell us what you want to tell us. Also, you can go to Cindy's, send her an email, or me an email, Cindy at kpppfm.com, or Duke at kpppfm.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, Fargo Moorhead 88.1 Fargo Moorhead. It's actually Facebook/KPPPFM Radio. Okay. But you can find us on Facebook, and you can send messages on Facebook. You can go also go to our website at kpppfm.com, and on any of the stories we put up, you can also comment on the stories. Plus, they have a way to contact us. It's a contact page where you can actually send us an email from the website. And people have done all of these, and it's been a very, it just depends on how you want to do it, but you reach us, we'll read your messages, we'll get back to you, and we'll do what we can. And thank you all for all the information, because there's a lot of people out there sending this stuff that's so crucial, stuff I don't have access to, or Cindy, stuff I haven't seen, we haven't seen. It's all been very good to help us put these shows together and put this information out there.
Mm-hmm. You guys are helping us get the information out that needs to be heard. And you're going to hear things here at KPPPFM that you will not hear anywhere else, you know? So to start off, I want to tell you that since Kathleen Bennett has gotten out of the jail, I have had the opportunity to talk to her, as I've shared with you, some of the clips from interviews that I've done with her. Now, let me tell you something you don't know. And this is very interesting, okay? Because I had never really heard this story. But on the night of November 20th that we all know about, where there was cannons and shooting and the water cannons that were being shot at people and the injuries that occurred. Well, on that particular night, okay, Kathleen Bennett was in her tarpy with her mom, with Tiffany and Rowena Shining Star Wilson, Tiffany Reyes, and she heard something going on outside. And she asked Tiffany whether she would come with her to see what the commotion was. And Tiffany decided she wanted to stay, so she asked them to watch her mom. She went to look and see what was happening, and she saw something that was happening on the bridge. So she walked a little bit closer, and a woman ran up to her and gave her this giant shield and said, "Hold this for me." And so she said, "I'll be right back." So she grabbed onto the shield. She was holding it. And then all of a sudden, two men came up and grabbed her and pushed her forward. With the shield that she's holding, they grabbed her and they pushed her forward. Okay, so they pushed her up to where the the water cannons were being shot, and she was getting shot with these water cannons, and they were shooting directly at the shield. So now she's like stuck there trying to hold this off, and then there's people around her who are getting shot. These people are grabbing at her, moving her back and forth with this shield. And she can't move, because if she's watching people around her that are not behind a shield getting shot, and people are going behind the shield to get protection because the cops are shooting constantly at this point. So it's very strange how this occurred. Kathleen Bennett had no intention of getting any closer, but these people grabbed her and shoved her all the way to where the danger was. How many other people were pushed into police lines or pushed into danger, I wonder? How many other people that were there that simply went to see what's going on at some place, and then all of a sudden, boom, they grabbed them and they moved them in a different direction and put their lives in danger? Because that's what happened to her. And when they tried to grab her and move her somewhere else, you know what happened then? She fell down. They literally put Kathleen Bennett's life at risk. She fell to the ground. They were shooting gas canisters, you know, the tear gas canisters. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't breathe. She couldn't see anything. Fortunately, somebody came and grabbed her and picked her up because she would have been trampled. And then as soon as she was able to, she like got away from there. As soon as she could see, she moved away. She went back to her tarpy. But as she was heading back, she was freezing cold. She was wet, right? So she stopped at a fire on the way to warm up. And then that's where there was a bunch of people that were taking people in vehicles to a tent where they were given clean clothes so they could change out of their wet clothes that had chemicals and tear gas and all of this stuff on it. And then they put the clothes inside of a plastic bag so they didn't contaminate when they got back to the camp. And then they were taken to a second tent, a yurt. It was a tea yurt. And they were given warm tea to warm up. And it was at that point that Fixikoa Kichita shows up. And Kathleen told me it was really, really strange because she was sitting there drinking her tea, and there was a whole bunch of other water protectors sitting there around her. And he, you know, went through the crowd, went around everybody else to go over to her and say, he stuck his hand out and he said, "Thank you. I want to thank you." And she thought it was really strange that, you know, he didn't say to anybody else around her anything, only her. And he went directly up to her and thanked her. And then after this, there was somebody from the legal at camp, which would be the Water Protector Legal Collective, mm-hmm. yep. that came over and said, "We need to ask you some questions because we need to have your name and we need to find out what happened to you because we're doing a lawsuit for water protectors." Okay? So when the Water Protector Legal Collective or anybody else from that group or organization or those people associated with them say they did not know about Kathleen Bennett, I have to ask if she was part of a lawsuit against Morton County who you interviewed on November 20th. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
How can you not know who she is? How could you not know anything about her? We didn't hear anything about Kathleen Bennett. Really? Nothing? Nothing about Kathleen Bennett? Not even when you interviewed her for the lawsuit? That's interesting. Very, very interesting. And I'm going to be bringing you more about that. I told you I had to completely change my plans for tonight's show. The reason for that being because I brought Kathleen Bennett to come and see her lawyer. Okay? And something very interesting happened as soon as I brought her here. Okay? Mm-hmm. She hasn't been here for that long, and she's going to be seeing her lawyer soon. But the interesting thing is that our home was attacked. Our home was attacked. Tonight's title is False Alarm. And why did I call that show False Alarm? Well, it's because there was a really strange false alarm that was brought to our home. I don't know if it was to try to stop us from broadcasting information to you or to hurt Kathleen, but either way, it was shady and it was very deliberate and it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to walk you through what happened and then I'm going to show you the video so you can see for yourselves what happened. And then I want you to ask yourself, okay, what is it that they do not want you to know that Kathleen Bennett knows? What is it? And why are they so willing to do anything and everything to stop you from hearing about her story, to stop you from hearing our broadcasts? So here's what happened. I was in the studio working on the show.
Yep.
Okay? And I'm having a conversation with Kathleen Bennett. And then all of a sudden, pounding starts happening on the front door, which we don't use, but pounding starts happening on the front door. So it was very odd, really super loud pounding, not like authoritative knock from a cop, mm-hmm. like a psychopath trying to knock your door down, knocking. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very urgent, crazy. Then I immediately thought, okay, I need to make sure she's safe. So I took her to an inner room, made sure she was safe. And then I checked my cameras to see what the hell was going on outside my house. And I looked and I tried to look to see out the windows as best as I could. What's going on? And there's all sorts of activity outside the house. There's another, the first person is a white lady with the red hair that comes up to the door and she's pounding on the door. Then she goes around to the other door on her house, pounding on that door as loud as she can, trying to get in. She's trying the locks. She's going to come in the house. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Who the hell is this crazy person? And then a black person comes over. He starts going around to the doors, pounding. They're not saying anything. Okay. They're going, hey, hey, like that, but they're not saying any words, just pounding on the doors. And then there's a car that's over on the corner, of our, another street down the street from us. Right.
Yep.
And, he comes over, turns into the wrong lane facing into traffic and pulls up right in front of our house facing the wrong way. Okay. And just sits there for no reason. The lady who's running around from door to door, knocking and pounding, doesn't even look at him. When the black guy comes over, she talks to him, appears that they're talking about something. And then he starts running from door to door, pounding away at the doors like crazy. Also, from that same corner where the SUV came over and parked right in front of our house, there was a man. And he was just strolling along, you know, very lackadaisical. And then all of a sudden, he starts turning down our street to walk down the street. And then he starts crossing the street to come across to our street. And when he's about halfway across the street, he starts running. He starts running and he runs right into the driveway and starts running into the around the house and pounding on the doors. Pounding on the windows just like the other people immediately. Okay. And they're hollering and they're not saying anything. They're just, hey, hey. And then, you know, pounding as loud as they can on the windows. I thought they were going to break the windows. Okay. And they're trying to come in the doors. And then within a minute or two, mm-hmm. there's cops outside. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Right. So then there's, you know, like, I don't even know if it was a minute after the cops show up. Then there's two fire trucks, a big fire truck, you know, for fires, and then a smaller fire truck. And all of these firefighters start getting out of the trucks, but they don't look like they're going to a fire. They're walking slow, like, you know, you see them looking up at a roof. And I'm thinking, like, is our roof on fire or something? What the hell is going on? Right. I'm looking around my house everywhere. There's nothing out of place, you know. So I'm thinking it must be something on the roof. I don't know what's going on. My husband comes out of the studio and he says, let's go out the back door. So we grab everybody. We grab, you know, all the people. And then we go outside our back door. And then my husband walks over and talks to the officer. And the officer very calmly points at the roof. And he says, there's smoke coming out of your chimney. And my husband looks up at him. And then he makes a face like, are you kidding me right now? He's like, there's a fire in our fire. He's like, he said, we have a fireplace and there's a fire going in our fireplace. By the way, today here where we are, it was raining really, really hard and it was cold. Okay. And I burn fires in my fireplace because I have a fireplace. And as the name indicates, it is where the fires go, in the place of fires, in the fireplace. The smoke that was coming out of the chimney was white smoke. Usually when there's a fire, you see billowing black smoke. Okay? This is completely normal. There's two fire trucks and four or five cops. The cops were there first. Okay? And then, this is like, it just, it keeps getting crazier. Mm-hmm. My husband says to the guy, I have a fireplace. We were, you know, we're burning a fire in our fireplace. And he walks toward me to tell me that, you know, the cops and the fire people are here because we're having a fire in our fireplace. Watch out, people. Watch out. If you're going to be grilling outside, be careful. Because if they see smoke, they come running with fire trucks and police. And there's all sorts of crazy people pounding on your doors, acting like they're going to knock the doors down. Okay? And then I said, my husband says to me, there's a fire going in our fireplace. That's why they're here. And I said, what? So is it illegal to have a fire in your own fireplace in your own house now? I said, what's wrong with us having a fire? I said, is it illegal for us to have a fireplace in our own house? He goes, it is in August. He said, it is in August. And I'm like, what law are you referring to? What are you talking about? I said, we can have a fire in our fireplace anytime we want to. We burn a fire in our fireplace once a week at least. Even in the summer, we like fires. Is that a crime? And he goes, ah, and he turns around. He's really mad. Mm-hmm. He did not seem concerned. None of the people running around our house screaming and yelling and trying to knock down our doors ever said the word fire. You would think if they're trying to alert us that there was a fire, that they would say fire, right? That they would go, help, get out, fire, your house is on fire, get out. No, they didn't say anything. They said nothing. You will see them on the cameras. Their mouths are not moving. Okay? And then those people, when the cop walked away, he was all ticked off.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, you should have seen how they were looking at Kathleen Bennett. It made us all feel very, very uncomfortable that this harassment is, you know, and I have to say, as a person of color, like, my neighbor or whoever these people were, by the way, I did not recognize that lady.
Nope.
I didn't know who the hell she was. She's never been around here before. Nope. I never seen her around this neighborhood. So I don't know how they were conveniently around here so that they could run over and act crazy in this charade, in this false flag, in this false alarm that you try to perpetrate so that you can knock down the doors and come into my house. What were you going to do? Start shooting? Is that what you're going to do next? Are you going to just bring a SWAT team to my house and murder all of us because we're telling people the truth? Well, you're on notice because people are watching and everybody's going to know what you're doing. Okay? This is crazy harassment. Hasn't this woman been through enough? You tried to kill her mother. When are you going to stop? We're sick and tired of the harassment. You think that you can just get away with everything that you do and that nobody's going to talk about it. Well, we're talking about it. And I'm going to show everybody what you're doing. We're going to walk through every little piece of this. I did not have time to put the full video together of everything that we had to show you from our cameras because it would have taken us too long and it would have been too late to do a show today. And I'm not going to let that happen. Because they were trying to keep me from broadcasting today, but it didn't work. I'm still broadcasting today. And guess what? We're going to bring you the whole video so you can see the whole thing piece by piece and analyze for yourself what a load of hogwash this was. You've never seen anything like it before. It's crazy. This is the kind of intimidation that Morton County has been using against people, that the Fargo Police Department has been using against people, that I've been talking about for years now. Years. People of color should not have to fear for their lives because some white person gets scared because I was burning a fire in my fireplace. Do you understand? If you are somebody that lives in this community, because I don't know who the hell those people were, but if you are and you're saying you came, you called the cops and the fire department to help me, no thank you. There was no fire. There was nothing going on. And every time you call the cops, there's a chance that a brown or a black person is going to die. And if you know that, why the hell are you calling the cops? That's crazy. You're putting people's lives at jeopardy. And these people were not apologetic. They did not care what they put us through. They terrified us. All of the people that were pounding on the doors and running from door to door and pounding on the windows, guess what happened when the cops showed up? They all disappeared. Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird? The guy that pulled up in the SUV and sat there, he pulled away as soon as the cops showed up. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk to the people that were there, and they didn't talk to him. He was sitting right there, facing in the wrong direction on the street against traffic. And the cops show up and they see a guy driving against traffic down the street going away from us. There's a real crime happening right there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. They didn't do nothing. Okay. I want to roll the video and I'm going to walk you through it. You ready? Here we go. There's a crazy lady. She ran to our neighbor's house first. Why? I don't know. She starts pounding on the door like a crazy person. She looks right up at the cameras. Look at all of them do. Oh, my God. Smoke is coming out of a chimney.
Yeah.
Like, that's never happened before. Estúpida. Pendeja. Loca. Then she runs over to the other side. She's telling somebody, I think it's the black guy, right? I think she's telling him something. And then she runs over to the other door. There she goes. And then we get the side shot. This is from our side door. Here, there's the SUV. You see him? He was on the other corner. He's driving on the wrong side of the street. Now he's pulled up in front of our house. Okay? There he is, just sitting there, facing in the wrong direction, going against traffic in front of our house. He's not talking to her. There's the black guy. Notice he never gets out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is he doing there? And he looks up at the camera. It's like they're casing our house so they can try to break in and do something. Look at it. He waves into the camera. Then he knocks again. Still knocking. And the other crazy lady's running around the house knocking everywhere too. Mm-hmm. Okay? And there he goes. Then he goes around to the other side. And all this time, they're just pounding away. Ba 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 ba, really loud. Ba 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 ba, over and over again. Look at her. There she goes. There's the SUV again. Okay. This is a replay.
Yeah.
So you can see it. That's the SUV going in the wrong direction. She's pounding on the doors. Pounding on the doors. She's trying to get in the door. You see her? How she's trying to move the door?
Now the SUV leaves.
Now the SUV. He takes off because the cops are coming. You see those two people across the street? I think they came out of that apartment building over there.
Mm-hmm.
But look at, they didn't come over.
Nope.
And they're our neighbors. Those people we know that are there, people that are live, that really do live around here. Then they leave, okay? They're gone. Now here comes the fire truck. Where's the guy that ran across the street?
That was in the video when she was knocking.
Oh, you saw her? I missed that part. There's a guy walking across the street. Oh, no, that's the SUV. Repeat. There's no guy there. She's knocking.
There he is, walking across the street.
Okay. Do you see guy that's over there? He's going really, really slow. He's over there on the corner. He's just kind of moseying along. You see how slow he's walking? The black guy comes over. Now he starts walking really slow across the street. Now watch him start running. He's going to start running like there's an emergency or something. Then he's running. Look, he's running. He's running. And he starts pounding on the windows and the doors.
And here the cop came.
There's the cop. And then he talks to my husband. Look at the look on my husband's face. He's like, yeah.
And he said to me, are you a renter? Are you a renter?
After he said, yeah, we have a fire going in our fireplace. Mm-hmm. The next question he asked is, are you a renter?
And here comes the fire department.
And what kind of a question is that to ask someone? Are you a renter? What? Mm-hmm. Were you going to try to go and threaten our landlords? Is that what you wanted that information for? Because you thought that you were going to go and harass somebody above us? Some authority that you can try and hold over us? He didn't have any concern for us. They didn't care. Look how slow these firefighters are. Do they look like they're going to an emergency? Look at them walking around real slow. They can see it's white smoke coming out of the house and the chimney. Look at them. They're going really slow. They're not running toward a fire. Is this how you see people running toward a fire to save somebody? There's no fire. There's nothing. They're just here to harass people. I bet you they were going to try to break down our doors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were going to damage our house. They were going to break down our doors and come in here. And God knows what they were going to try to do. Look at them. And they look at the cameras. They're paying attention to everything. Look at that. He looks right over there. He's like, oh, there's a camera. Uh-oh. Yeah. We're filming.
Yep.
And then they're leaving right away.
Yep. The whole thing took 7 minutes from when the woman started banging and when the fire truck left. It was 7 minutes.
Look at all those concerned people. Where the hell are they? Where are they? The concerned people that were trying to save us, banging and banging and banging on our doors and almost breaking down our windows. Where did they go? They didn't care. They all left. Nobody came over and talked to us and said, oh, are you okay? We called the cops on, we were worried about you. No, nobody said anything to us. Nothing. That's what's going on, folks. This is the kind of harassment that we're dealing with. And it needs to stop. It needs to stop immediately. This cannot continue. We have a right to tell people the information about what's happened in Kathleen Bennett's case. And I'm going to be bringing you a lot more. I want to tell you, you need to go see the movie Awake on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Not because it is a cinematic masterpiece, because it is not. I feel very bad for Josh Fox because he got hornswoggled, or maybe he didn't, into making this craptastic thing in which they feature a whole bunch of people connected to railroading Kathleen Bennett and sticking her in a jail and trying to kill her mom. And it no longer surprises me that Myron Dewey and all of those people were attacking us because they're trying to get famous.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to spread their propaganda. Everybody needs to go to the camps. We all need to occupy around the country. We need to start occupying people's spaces and taking their resources so that they can have more standing rocks to bilk you out of your money. And I'm going to walk you through what happened in that movie and who's in it. And I'm going to tell you how they're connected to Kathleen Bennett's case. But for tonight, the most important thing I have for you is what happened here. What they're trying to do. And I'm putting it out there so that all eyes are focused. What's your next move? Are you going to try to kill us? Because everyone will know that why you're doing it. Everyone is going to see. So, putting it out there, letting folks know. Please share this out. Make sure everybody knows about this false alarm, mm-hmm. this false flag that they tried to perpetrate. And what was your takeaway from all of that?
Of all the cops and all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, what was your takeaway, the kind of things that stuck out for you?
Well, the crazy thing that stuck out for me is that one is that the way the cops were when they came in, the firefighters. I mean, we weren't asked, are you okay?
No.
You know, it was like, there's smoke coming out of your chimney. And I'm like, yeah, you know, are you a renter? And it's like, no, I've owned this house. How long have you lived here? And I said, over 20 years. And and I'm like, this, why are you here? You know, and actually,
we burn our fireplace every week, and they've never come.
Yes, yes, and also that the way they looked, no one was concerned. They said, "Oh, geez, we're here for your safety."
Nothing.
None of that was. They were mad. They were mad.
They were angry.
At us.
Like they were when looking
that,
at us. Like,
when that officer walked away after Sydney, he said, "We can have fires, and you can't have fires in summertime. Is there a law against it?" And he said, "Fine." And he turned around and walked away.
Fine. Like
he walked away.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to make sure these people weren't going to come any closer. So I stayed in the drive and I kept on walking out towards them. And they
wanted
off,
to come in the house.
Oh, one of them had a big hatchet.
They had a hatchet. They were going to come in the house.
So I talked to the fire marshal and I just said, you know, basically the same stuff. He didn't say much.
They were looking at you. They were looking at us like we were trying to burn down our own house, and we were lying about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Who does that?
Yeah, we're just gonna,
why would I burn down my own house?
I'm going to stand outside my house and let it burn down and divert you guys away from it. But, and then the fire marshal went and had a conversation with the police officer who had walked down the street and just left us. And I thought, this is unusual. This is like, you know, and also the whole thing is all these people are running around and none of them are around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that struck
me. They all
me.
Disappeared.
So the whole thing was like that. And also the thing that stuck with me the most is was because of the recordings, the timestamps were only 7 minutes. It was about 5:30 this evening till about 5:37.
Think about that,
from
guys.
From the time of people knocking on doors, yelling, running around, and vehicles pulling up, fire trucks pulling up, police, all of their cars in our driveway talking to us and back in their cars and gone, all within 7 minutes.
Everything.
7 minutes, that whole thing happened. So that sticks out in my mind, too. It's like, you know, wouldn't people linger a little bit? You know, it's like...
No, they didn't come ask questions. They didn't do anything. And how far... We're not right next to the fire department. We're not, like, right next door to the fire department.
No, they came from the north, too.
Yeah, they came from the north side of town.
We should have railroad tracks. It's good. It's a good 5 minute ride.
It's at least 5 minutes to get across. And then if you're lucky, because we have trains.
Yeah.
And the trains will always stop you. Mm-hmm. I've always thought, like, you know what? If you really have an emergency, the cops can never get you. How are they going to fly over the trains?
Yeah.
They can't go across if there's trains, or if there's, you know, if you're in an ambulance and you have a heart attack, you're like, if you live here, you're screwed because there is no emergency routes, you know?
Yep.
The train tracks will block you. So it was very odd that, and I didn't see that, the lady with the red hair that's running around like crazy, you know? She didn't have a phone in her hand. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see a phone?
Nope, no phone.
Who called the police? Who called the firefighters? Because I didn't see any of the people. The black guy didn't have a phone. Was the guy in the car calling? They didn't talk to him. Nobody told them what they were doing. They never said fire. They never said anything. Look at the footage again. I want you to pay really close attention this time. She's running back from our neighbor's house. So she went over to our neighbor. What for? I don't know. Our neighbor was burning a bonfire yesterday and the cops weren't called. You know? It's normal to have a fireplace. But I guess if you're people of color living in this area, you have to be afraid of even doing something normal like burning a fire in your own fireplace in your house, because white people and all these other crazy actors are going to come over to your house and call the cops and the firefighters to rip down your door and come inside and kill you. Look at this. You should have heard the banging. It was like crazy. It was crazy. It was all planned.
Mm-hmm.
It was all planned. Look at what bad actors they are. Does this lady even look concerned? I never seen this woman in my life. Never seen her in the neighborhood. Who even knows if she's from around here?
Mm-hmm.
And there's that car just sitting there. Notice they don't talk to the guy in the car.
Yep.
Why is he sitting there? He doesn't even know what's going on because they're not saying, oh, there's a fire, there's a fire. There's just a bunch of people running around my house, banging on the doors and the windows. And he's just sitting there watching. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're all checking out all the cameras. Oh, yep. There's a camera there. Oh, yep. There's a camera there. And then he goes around and starts banging on all the doors and the windows, too.
Yeah. Mind you, too, this, by the time I got outside is when the officer was here. There was still some smoke coming out of the chimney, but it was a very, you know, we didn't have that much in the fireplace.
No, we were just burning some, you know, junk mail and some cardboard and newspaper so that it doesn't go in the landfill.
Yep.
And we're somehow criminals because we're burning something so it doesn't go in the landfill in our fireplace.
Yep. There he pulls away when the fire engine comes around the corner. He gets out. He leaves. He doesn't even stay.
Right.
You know, it's like his job here is done.
Mm-hmm. There was a past story that I did on a Mexican girl that we reported how the police brutalized her. And right after that, they used a SWAT team on her.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Look at this. They used the authority of the police and the fire department to harass and threaten people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
People of color have to continue to be afraid of these people because they're coming to threaten our lives because they can. She's knocking and knocking and knocking. terrifying this poor woman that has PTSD from all the things that they've done to her. They tried to kill her mother. These people have no respect. They have no concern. And they have a black guy and this guy. And then here he comes. He's running. He's going to start running now. Why does he come running to the house?
He just walked.
Why does he start running? Look. What kind of conversation could they have in 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say fire. They don't scream. They just start running to the house. And immediately the cops are there. This happened like within a matter of seconds. Then he's like, Duke's like, yeah, we have a fireplace. What the hell are you? He's like, are you burning a fire in your chimney?
That's right.
Yes.
Are you a renter?
Are you a renter? What the hell kind of question is that? How is that any of your business, whether or not we're a renter? You shouldn't even answer this question. You should say it's none of your damn business.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell I am. Why the hell are you here harassing us? Look how many cops. Look how many firefighters. This is how they're spending your tax dollars to harass and threaten people of color in your community. This is where your tax dollars are going in Moorhead. This is ridiculous. Look how many people they wasted all of these resources mm-hmm. to come and scare an elder Lakota woman to try and threaten an indigenous Mexican woman doing reporting while I'm working. You're taking away my time of work. I'm trying to do something here for the community to inform the public of what the corrupt law enforcement and the corrupt people in the state of North Dakota are doing. And look at what they're doing in Minnesota, too. Look at them harassing people. And look, they're talking on the radio, looking up there. By the way, after all of this happens, they go just outside of the view of the cameras behind that bush.
Mm-hmm.
There's two bushes in there. Yeah. And you'll see them go right around the corner of the bush. You can still see their legs, but they stand there and they have a conversation. Everyone disperses like it was a planned operation.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw, because see, this is what they wanted to do. They were going to come in here, guns a-blazing, and knock everything down and knock down our door and do God knows what to us, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what Duke did was he grabbed our keys and we all went out the back door. And then we shut the door behind us, locked it. You're not coming into my property. You don't have a warrant. You're not going to create a fake scenario, a false alarm, a fake emergency, and break your way into my house. So I left. There's nobody in here to save. What are you going to do now? Knock down the effing door? You couldn't anymore. Your charade is up. I got your number. I see what you're trying to do. We're not stupid, and we're going to keep reporting. You're not going to stop us, just so you know. So spread this. Please spread this far and wide. Organizers out there, you know what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the tactics, the false flags, the operations, and I'm just sharing information because you know what? That's how we know what they're going to do next. We got to share information between organizers. We got to share information between activists and journalists and our community so that we can know what they're up to and we can stop them. We're all watching and we're not stupid. So please help us share this out. Let people know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep Kathleen Bennett safe. Stop trying to harass her. Stop trying to kill her. Stop trying to kill her mother. Leave her alone. Stop trying to cover up your crimes. You better leave her alone. And you should drop the charges and have this over and done with because you know she's innocent. Thank you for listening to 88.1 FM KPPP LP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Minnie Wiccioni, Water is Life.